Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The creation of the Defense Health Agency, DHA, is the centerpiece of the military health system's governance reform. The new medical agency was set up to establish common business processes and clinical practices for the Army, Navy, and Air Force. The cost of healthcare has grown significantly. In 2001, DOD's overall military health system budget was about $19 billion. By 2012, it grew to about $54 billion. As the cost of healthcare continues to rise, DOD must leverage efficiencies, technologies, and standardization in order to continue to provide affordable, high-quality healthcare for service members and their family. DHA has already produced benefits since its inception by saving money and producing clinical and business standardization. Military medicine today is about creating and maintaining the highest standards of care and making sure the department can resource all of its healthcare operations appropriately. What are the strategic priorities of the Defense Health Agency's Healthcare Operations Directorate? What is DHA doing to save money and gain efficiencies? How does establishing the DHA position the military health system to be more relevant and stronger in the future? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Major General Richard Thomas, Director of the Defense Health Agency's Healthcare Operations Directorate. General, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Oh, thanks, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. So to set some context, General, along with stating the mission of the Defense Health Agency, perhaps you could highlight the impetus for its creation and the overall redesign of the military health system it incurred.
No, sure. Happy to do so. You know, the Defense Health Agency, or the DHA, was really created as the first joint integrated combat support agency that was really established to enable the Army, the Navy, the Air Force medical services, and help us to provide a medically ready force as well as a ready medical force to the combatant commands. And this means both in peacetime and in wartime. Overall mission for the DHA is really to kind of achieve greater integration of our direct care and our purchase care elements within the military health system. Now, direct care, when I say that, what I'm referring to is that care that we provide inside our post camps and stations on the installations in our military treatment facilities. So those elements that our Army, Navy, and our Air Force medical services that they provide, that's a direct care system. And then the purchase care side, which really is our TRICARE network, if you will, is designed to support the direct care system, all the service members, their families, of course, our retired veterans and their families.
So, sir, I'd like to know more about the healthcare operations director within the Defense Health Agency. Would you tell us more about the functions you perform in this directorate? How is it organized? And how many folks you have working for you?
Well, Michael, you know, we're a new organization. We're growing. The agency itself, the DHA itself, has that management responsibility, as I mentioned, for various joint services, as well as the TRICARE health plan itself. And we act as kind of a market manager for the National Capital Region, which includes Walter Reed National Military Medical Center and the Fort Belvoir Community Hospital as well. Now, within the DHA, the Defense Health Agency, the largest directorate that you have is the Healthcare Operations Directorate. There's six total, but we're far and above the largest of those. And we're comprised of a number of divisions, seven right now. And what we call ourselves is really the DNA of the DHA. Now, my boss, Lieutenant General Doug Robb, who's the DHA director, he loves when I say that, by the way, so I'll make sure that he hears that. The divisions within healthcare operations include the operations division, our clinical support division. We have the pharmacy operations for the DOD. The TRICARE health plan itself is one of our divisions. We also have a warrior care, a public health, and a readiness division. So a very diverse portfolio of programs within just the healthcare operations itself. But our goal, really, our unifying idea is to focus on supporting the quadruple aim for the military health system. And that is, as our boss, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, Dr. Jonathan Woodson, it's his strategic true north, the quadruple aim. And that's basically give better care with a better outcome, better health outcome, at a lower cost, always with a center or focus on military readiness.
So, sir, I want to know a little bit more about your role and responsibilities and duties as director of the Healthcare Operations Directorate and also as the Chief Medical Officer for DHA.
Sure.
Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
You know, Michael, with the DHA itself now, we're about a year old now. We stood up last fall. We have another year to get fully operational, but the work continues. Sometimes you'll hear the analogy of, you know, you're building a plane while in flight.
Yes.
So we have some of our elements. I mentioned TRICARE and pharmacy, and those are more matured elements of the DHA than some others that are coming online. But the key to the maturation of the Defense Health Agency and the goal, really, as we move forward, is to make sure that we collaborate, we cooperate, and we coordinate with the services. It's really not about us getting inside the motor pools of the services and doing their job for them. Each of the services has evolved for a specific reason. They have great capability, and I can talk more on that if you like. But within our large organization, I think my role is I am an Army physician by training, a surgeon, and as the chief medical officer, I also serve as the senior clinician for the Defense Health Agency. I provide counsel to General Robb and to Dr. Woodson and other senior leaders. And then I think that really we have an overall responsibility of kind of balancing act between providing the best care to our patients, ensuring that our clinicians have the training so they can practice leading edge of medicine. We also have some responsibility within the DHA and the services to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars. And that's kind of one of the big driving forces behind the genesis of the Defense Health Agency. You know, Michael, when we look at the DOD budget, we've come over time to about 10% of the DOD budget now goes to healthcare costs. Now, over the last 14 years, we've been in continuous combat operations. I'd say that's money well spent. But there are some opportunities for us to be more efficient in healthcare delivery. There's some redundancies, no doubt. And what we found was in some areas, what we call shared services specifically, we can actually be more efficient, we can save money, and there's some areas that are duplications among the services. Now, I mean, make no mistake about it. The things that make Army, Navy, and Air Force medicine so good as they've evolved over time, those are the things you want them to focus on. Those are their core capabilities. What the DHA does is it supports the services in those things that maybe aren't so much a core capability or core competency, other health insurance, you know, third-party billing, you know, looking at coding, and a number of the things we have within our shared services, what we call the 10 identified shared services. You know, there's a medical logistics and medical information and technology, things like that. The TRICARE health plan itself and pharmacy, those are also shared services. So you got medical logistics and other areas. There's areas there that we can minimize redundancy, increase efficiencies, optimally save money, but standardize to optimize across the military health system.
So, General, regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top, say, three management challenges you face in your position, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
One of the big challenges we have is, as with any new organization, I mean, we're starting from, you know, to stand up a new organization, so there's a lot of changes that come with that. As I mentioned, we're the first joint medical organization of its type. Having said that, that is a challenge in and of itself. But remember, and I think that medicine is a great example of where we can be most joint. As you've seen over the last 13-plus years, continuous combat operations, we have an all-time high survivability rate. And that's not a mistake, but that's been the efforts of a joint system, joint military, and specifically joint medical system. I mean, right now, a Marine that's wounded in some remote area of Afghanistan can be attended to, have initial resuscitation by a corpsman, and he can be evacuated to an Army combat support hospital by an Army medevac helicopter, for example, transported out of theater by an Air Force strategic critical care team through Germany, Landstuhl Regional Medical Center, and then on to the States. That continuum of care is unprecedented in the history of warfare. So we know that to maintain our capability that we've refined over these last few years is important. It's essential to the fighting force. And we must make sure that the work that we do today guarantees our troops have it tomorrow. That's the bottom line. But the challenge we have in standing up this new organization, it's kind of like a coalition itself. It's coalition building. And I was the Surgeon General in Afghanistan, 50-nation coalition, and there were plenty of challenges there. But I did find out that the U.S. military medical care that we provided, that medical system, was the glue that held that coalition together. And so as we come here and we're standing up a new Defense Health Agency, we're building a coalition among not only the services, Air Force medicine, Navy medicine, Army medicine, but also interagency and other organizations outside the government. And that's the key. So I think as we go forward, the DHA is establishing the staffing, certainly the resources and the authorities that go with it so that we can be successful in the days ahead. Really, the future of military medicine is firmly snap-linked to the future or the success of the Defense Health Agency.
But sir, one of the things you laid out very nicely the challenges you're facing and the agency's facing, and in particular your directorate. But I was wondering, what has surprised you since taking over this role?
Well, Michael, you know, there's a good question. I think, you know, I don't like surprises, but I mean, you know, you're going to get them anyway. I think I was expecting, even though it's coalition building, there are a lot of challenges with the DHA. I think one of the surprises I've had is really, quite frankly, the willingness of the services themselves to support the DHA. From the top down, the Surgeons General of each of the Army, Navy, and Air Force medical services and senior leaders have really leaned forward. They provided us great staffing, great support. They want to see us be successful. That was somewhat surprising because I'm used to a little bit more service parochialism and a little bit more uncertainty with something new. And so that I think we're overcoming that on a daily basis. But I got to tell you, it's been top-down driven. The leadership has been very, very much willing to work with us. And I think that, as I mentioned too, I think one of the surprises, I think that a pleasant surprise has been that I think medicine is really a model for jointness. We don't fight alone. All the services have a significant role. And we won't deploy our medical forces or provide medical care across the military health system alone either. It really is a team sport.
So you mentioned having great mentors, and I just want to know about your leadership style and management approach. And in particular, would you tell us or describe for us how you lead and maybe provide us some illustration of your leadership principles in action?
Well, you know, that's one of the good things about being in the military. I think that they put responsibility on people from an early age. You know, I look at lieutenants, like, say, an infantry lieutenant. He would have a great amount of responsibility as an infantry lieutenant, especially compared to his peers that aren't in uniform. My style, I think, is a combination of things, you know, learned over time, certainly from folks that I've worked for. I think that the Army, as medicine, is a team sport. And so I'm very inclusive by nature, my personal style. Collaboration within and across organizations to me is one of the key tenets, and I think communication and trust. Those are the cornerstones of a fine organization. That's what we strive for. The military is a values-based organization, as you know, and we actually snap-link ourselves to those values that we try to live every day. I think it's important to remember, too, there are families, more than 50% of folks in the service now, this volunteer force, are married. Families serve, too. I think that's important that we remember them. I like to think that I try to empower my subordinates as much as possible. Those are our future leaders. And accountability is big. That's taught throughout the military to be accountable and to expect others to do the same. My personal style, I think if I'm going to give a soundbite to any of my troops, is do good and avoid evil.
The Hippocratic Oath, kind of, in a way, right? Do no harm.
Well, it is. I think, you know, the clarity that you can provide in your organization is key. Because, you know, you'd mentioned a moment ago about this new organization called the DHA. As we came in there, there were a lot of folks. We have a lot of civilians and uniforms that work in the organization. And with that change, you know, comes that uncertainty. And, you know, there's a fear factor, fear of the unknown. So clarity from their leaders, certainly, and involving them in the process as much as possible, because let's face it, they have great expertise. Our subject matter experts are in our formations. And so relying on them and empowering them so they can, you know, they have a voice, I think is key if we're going to be successful.
What are the strategic priorities for the Defense Health Agency's Healthcare Operations Directorate? We will ask its director, Major General Richard Thomas, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.